from shot to Ramazim to the heavy Kabbalah pieces that we nod at and go right there. But we'll try. Okay, let's try. The first piece is very much Bederach Avoda. Avodas Yisrael, Parshas Vayetze. Let's see. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. Right, our Parsha obviously begins with Yaakov Avinu on the run from his wicked brother Esav. And he's trying to find the Shidduch and at the same time to save his life. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava nira haremes. Ki atzadikim ha'ovdim Hashem be'emes. He meleim charata v'shiflus ruach, v'adaraba, nidva lehem tamid ki ilu misrachim tamid mikedusha, v'lachein, mischazkim la'avod Hashem. What is the nature of tzaddikim? The nature of tzaddikim, and some of us spoke about this on a Sunday a couple of weeks ago, when we spoke about Avram sitting at the entrance of the Oel. The nature of a tzaddik is to feel that, you know what, I've never... Right, it's a good Thanksgiving part. I've never done enough to show my hakaras hatov to Hashem. There's nothing I can do to repay HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzaddikim, he says, are maleim charata. They live with constant regret. Now, obviously, do this in a healthy way, but they live with regret and they live with humility, and they feel that they're constantly not close enough to Hashem. And because of that, and here's how you know if you're doing it in a healthy way or not. If you're doing it in a healthy way, so then lachein mischazkim la'avod Hashem. They always feel a sense of urgency to want to be closer to Hashem. Right? Their deficiencies don't leave them sad or depressed, God forbid, but it motivates the tzaddik to want to be mechazek himself, to try to do more. Masha'im kein, as opposed to the rishaim, va'anshe sheker. Lo dai shesarim me'achay Hashem, not only do they drift away from Hashem, avgam kol echa darko yosher be'enav. The Rasha lives in this bubble of where he thinks that he's perfect. He thinks that he's mastered life. He doesn't think he needs to grow. He doesn't think he needs to improve. He thinks he has it all worked out, which is, you know, a tragedy. Sometimes you see to an outsider, sometimes it's so obvious that a person has shortcomings, but the person is so surrounds himself or herself with people who, you know, praise that individual to the point that they can't self-reflect. So the Rasha, not only does he drift away from Hashem, but he thinks he's, you know, getting better and he's perfect and he's got it all worked out. Avgam kol echa darcho yashar be'inav u'mishalel belibo ki yashar v'neman v'oved Hashem. This wicked individual thinks that he's faithful and he's perfect and he serves Hashem as he should. Kamo shekasavti b'makom acher, as I described a little bit already in Parshas Chayisara. V'zeh she'amar v'yetze Yaakov mi be'er shava. What does it mean that Yaakov went from Be'er Shava? Mishahu ki Yaakov tzadik v'chasir u'b'chinas akev. A person who sees himself Yaakov, like Yaakov is named for the heel is the lowest part of the body. Now what's interesting about the heel is the heel also drives a person forward. A person uses their feet to walk. The heel supports the body. So again, if you use this attitude in the right way, it carries a person. It motivates a person. It keeps you being a holich. Like the Navi Zechariah says, that we're supposed to be holchim, we're supposed to be people who move forward, constantly growing. Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life, Vayelech Moshe, he's a holech mamish till the end. Right? He's never resting. And that's why that vart about Avram Avinu, who's Yoshev Pesach Ha'Oel, it sounds like what, he's resting? No. He's Yoshev Pesach Ha'Oel. He's camped out at the entrance saying he's waiting for the doors to open because he wants to take that first step forward. That was such an expression of humility, feeling I haven't even started yet. Or Moshe Rabbeinu's phrase in Chumash Devarim, at the beginning of Chumash Devarim, Ata Chelosa, Hashem, you've just begun to display your greatness before me. Moshe, you've been serving Hashem for your whole life. It's the end of your life. What do you mean, Ata Chelosa, you've just begun Hashem? But there's a sense of a tzaddik that I'm just at the heel, I'm at the foot. I haven't gotten anywhere close to the head yet. I'm all the way at the back of the line, so to speak. So nidma lo ki ilu hu yotze u misrachek mi be'er shava hu hakedusha ha'elyona. Vayetze Yaakov mi be'er shava means that Yaakov saw himself as yetze, God forbid, I'm moving away from be'er shava, which he says is which is representative of the kedusha elyona. Again, there's different ways I guess you could teach be'er shava. Maybe the seven represents the seven midos, seven attributes of Hashem. Seven lower spheros. I'm not sure exactly what he means by HaKadosh Elyono, But again, Yaakov saw himself. He feared that he was drifting away. Aval vayelech, klomar, mishahu male geyus, hu holech, ki holechu charana, hu mevi chalila charan af. But vayelech, a person, right? A person who thinks that he's marching along with Hashem, vayelech in a haughty sense. He's male geyus, he's full of himself, so vayelech charana. A person who thinks, yeah, I'm walking the path, I'm already good. Charana, he's arousing the charon af of Hashem by having a false confidence and not having the humility of Yaakov Avinu. Now again, Yaakov also, you know, what's this week's parsha? Vayetze. Next week, Vayishlach. Next week, Vayeshev. Who remembers the Rashi? Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'shalva. Yaakov Avinu also, at a certain point in his life, thought maybe it's time to settle down, right? The famous words of Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'shalva. Yaakov was seeking a little bit of tranquility. And immediately Hashem brought tzaras upon him to drive him forward, to push him forward. Never resting, never stopping. Chaver, it's such a true vart to our Rebbe, to the Avodas Yisrael. Because the Avodas Yisrael, I think I mentioned to you once, the Avodas Yisrael was a sickly person for much of his life. And he ended up living a decently long life. And they questioned him, you know, how did you survive? Born in 1737, was Nifter in 1814. How did you live, you know, such a long life? And he said, because I always was makabel upon myself, whenever I had a something I was working on, there was no sense of ever resting. Whenever I finished a project, I immediately took on a new project. He was always in a state of avoda. And that's why this Vard is very autobiographical. Right, to always see myself as Vayetze Yaakov. Maybe I'm too far on the outside. I need to find a way back to Hashem. But a person who's overly confident, the Vayelech, that I'm on the path, Charana. Such a person arouses the Charon Af, the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because as human beings, by definition, we're deficient, we're faulty. There's always more for us to do. V'zeu Shamar HaKasuv. So that's what the Pasuk tells us about David HaMelech. LeDavid b'shanaso es tamo lifnei Avimelech. Everyone knows this pasuk from our davening on Shabbos. When David, right, tefillah leDavid, it's Perek Lamed Dalid, b'shanaso es tamo lifnei Avimelech. When David what? When David changed his behavior, he disguised himself before Avimelech. But the Arizal says, who is Avimelech? Who is really Avimelech? Avinu Malkeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Arizal, it's in the Eitz Chaim and the Shara Shabbos, says the Arizal, Bishanoso es ta'amo v'recho lifnei avinu shabashamayim. That David HaMelech changed his attitude, he changed himself, he changed his presentation of self before who? Before Avimelech, avinu shabashamayim. Ayin sham. Perush, kisha'odam nasa bal tshuva, u'mishane ta'amo v'recho lifnei avinu shabashamayim. So what does it mean? To be Mishanamo. Mishanatamo means a change of self. Right? Once Tam and Reach, literally taste and smell. Right? But the change that David HaMelech was constantly seeking was to constantly change his relationship and to enhance his relationship with Hashem. So what happens next? What happens when a person is constantly changing in a positive sense? Because he sees himself Lifnei Avi Melech, himself before Avinu Shavashamayim, and he's striving to do better. So then what? Because Vayigar Shehu Vayelach Perish Hasimen Harishon Me'Oved Hashem Shu Megaresh Bechinas Vayelach. The sign of a true Oved Hashem is that what? That he's Megaresh, that he drives away, he pushes away, he distances himself from Vayelach. Now again, we're learning it. We have to be able to learn two things at once, right? I told you before, Vayelach is the ultimate goal. Vayelach Moshe on the last day of his life. Right? But a tzaddik feels that no matter how much of a holech he is, he says, I'm not walking the path yet. That's what I mean. Vayigar shehu vayelech. He pushes away this feeling that I'm a holech. Ki holechu. He pushes away this feeling that he has found the path and that he can just, you know, keep driving along that highway towards the Ribono Sholem. He's constantly reassessing. David HaMelech, who's the spitz madrega of humility, right? David is dalid vav dalid. Dal means humble or poor. So he's dalid vidalid. He's humble and more humble. David HaMelech says, Anochi tolas velo ish. I'm a worm. I'm not even a person. Right? I'm always striving for something more. So David HaMelech, was constantly mishana tamo lifnei avi melech. He was constantly improving himself. And again, the simen of a true Baal Teshuva, of a person who wants to go weiter, is that he's veigarsheo vayelech. He drives away the notion that he's on the path, that he figured it all out. He pushes away this notion that he's a holechu. Va'adar abba hu nichna be'enov, v'nidma benafsho ki rochel ku, ad yirachameyo Hashem yisbarach v'yekarveyo. He constantly says, Hashem, I'm not there yet. And he davens to Hashem. That's why David HaMelech was tefillah. Va'ani tefillah. Hashem, I need your help. I can't find the path. I'm trying this, I'm trying that, but I don't feel that I've figured it out yet. But it's that type of humility that Hashem loves, that Hashem embraces. As opposed to the vayelech, a person who thinks he's on the path, charana. That's the charon af Hashem. Okay, so an amazing insight into the importance of being, always being a Baal Teshuva. The Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, one time, he was walking in the streets, and he met a certain young man, and he started talking to him, and the fellow said, he's learning in yeshiva. So the Ger Rebbe said, where are you learning? So he said, I'm learning in such and such a yeshiva, but I'm not a Baal Teshuva. The yeshiva, though, is known that many Baal Teshuva learn there. So the Beis Yisrael grabbed him by the hand, and he looks at him and he says, you're not a Baal Teshuva? Why not? Why not? It's not like a dirty word, a Baal Teshuva. A person should always be a Baal Teshuva. Right? He was trying to say, I'm in a Baal Teshuva yeshiva, but I'm like in the serious track. What do you mean? A Jew is always a Baal Teshuva. That's the goal of a Jew, to always be a Baal Teshuva. Okay, let's try the next piece. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava. Nira levar b'derach remes. Perhaps we can explain b'derach remes. Ki miderach hatzadik bizman shiroa es atzmo b'tzara o b'galus. Einu mitzta'er al inoy nafsho. A very powerful theme that we find in many Sefer Chassidus is the notion of what? Of feeling the pain of the Shechina, Galus HaShechina. That when a Jew goes into Galus, or when a Jew is in an emotional state of Galus, so he has to pause for a second and say, Hashem is with me in my Galus. Hashem is with me in my depression. Hashem is with me in all my disappointment. And therefore, I could be selfish and think about how bad I feel about my situation. Or I could also acknowledge the fact that it's bad for God. When it's bad for the Jews, it's bad for the Rabbanu Sho'olam. So the tzaddik, when he sees himself in a difficulty, in a tzara, or the tzaddik finds himself in a galus, eino mitzta'er al inoy nafsho. Again, he doesn't just lament his own personal pain. Ki emachmas sheneshmasin di Yisrael hein hein evarin de shchinta. Since the Jewish people are the limbs of the Shechina, collectively we are, again, Shechina means a lot of things. The concept of Shechina means a lot of things. But when we talk about, the shame yichud kutcha brichu shchinte, the unification of kutcha brichu, Hashem and the Shechina means us. We are the Shechina. The collective nishmas Yisrael, the embodiment of the Jewish people, that is the Shechina. So in other words, each of us are different limbs of the Shechina. I don't know exactly which part we are. Our generation is also a limb of the Shechina. Within our generation, each one of us plays different parts, so to speak, of that spiritual body, that koma shleima that we call Shechina. So even if you want to say that Hashem is, let's say, the heart, like it says in Medrash Shir HaShirim, that the Hashem is Liban Shel Yisrael, right? But my heart, when my heart feels the pain, when I break my arm, right, I feel pain in my chest also. Why is my heart in pain? When my arm hurts, right? And the answer is because it's all connected. So if we see ourselves as limbs of the Shechina, in other words, if we see that our pain is Hashem's pain and Hashem's pain is our pain, so then I have a choice to make. What do I focus on? Umistama kamo kein hapagam b'shechinas uzo. L'chein tzarech lihismar mer aleha. So I need to cry over it. I need to feel the pain of the Shechina. And not just to say, oi, I feel so bad for myself. I feel bad for the fact that the pain that I'm in is causing pain to Hashem. It's a high level, obviously. V'chein Yaakov, similarly by Yaakov, we find k'shehotzruch livroach b'pnei esav achim mibe'er shava v'yelech harana. When Yaakov Avinu is running away from his evil brother Esav and he's heading towards Charan, Perish, what does it mean? Shehirgish hiluch Charan shehu midas hadin chalila. That he felt the Charan, he felt the Charon. Charon means a certain type of anger or intensity, a negativity, a certain midas hadin. He understood a sense of what? A sense of galus. He was going into galus. And he saw that, of course, as Maisa Avo Simon Labanim, he saw that his wandering, his running, was emblematic of Jewish wandering throughout history. That's why Yaakov immediately after, what happens at the beginning of our Parsha, Chevra? Yaakov goes to sleep and he has a dream. And what is his dream? What is Yaakov's dream? It's not a personal dream. Yaakov sees the entirety of Jewish history. He sees all of the four exiles of history. Ukvar ramzu chazal, chazal amarames, in the dream of Yaakov, ki b'chalom hazeh, nir mazlo kol arba galuyos. He sees all four exiles. V'achamor shebehem hu achor ban hazeh ha'achron, asher ein lanu giloi keitz yadua. And now the Avodah Yisrael gets very personal. He talks to us, you know, writing from his place in the late 1700s, early 1800s. He writes to us and he says, listen, we're already, in his time, we're already hundreds of years into Gullus Edom, right? We're more than 1,000 years into Gullus Edom. Nowadays, we could say we're almost at 2,000 years of Gullus Edom. So he says, all the more so, Yaakov Avinu saw the Holocaust, Yaakov Avinu saw the pogroms, Yaakov Avinu saw the massacres, Yaakov Avinu saw all the suffering, especially this long-lasting final Gullus, and he saw that there was no Giloi Keitz, there was no clear end in sight. V'hine yadua ki Beis HaMikdash HaRishon keneged Avram. We know that the first Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Avram Avinu. U'bayis sheni keneged Yitzchak. V'abayis shibana b'mher b'yameinu neged Yaakov. And the third Beis HaMikdash corresponds to Yaakov Avinu. Corresponds to Yaakov. Yaakov who is Shalimu da'avhan. Yaakov who's the most complete of the Avos, the most balanced of the Avos, Tiferes. Mitaso Shleima, Yaakov Avinu who's children all remained religious, Baruch Hashem, unlike Avraham and Yitzchak, whose homes had much more difficulty. V'lo yielo harisa. And just like Yaakov's family was shalem, Yaakov is an ish tam, he's a wholesome person. He's the mid of Teferes, he's complete and balanced. So just like Yaakov is in a certain sense forever, right? Think of the Gemara in Tanis, Yaakov avinu lo meis. Yaakov is eternal. So too bayis shlishi is also going to be eternal. Just like Yaakov's, you know, his bed, it literally means his family, right? Wasn't subject to Chorban, Baruch Hashem, all of his children, even when they got nervous, maybe Yosef is up to no good. Yosef is the Esav or Yishmael of our family. It all worked out well. So too, the Beis HaMikdash that corresponds to Yaakov Avinu is going to be perfect and wholesome. The Bayis Shlishi, which is going to be forever. V'isa, and the Gemara tells us, Gemara in Psachim, Lo ka Avram shekara ohar. The third Beis HaMikdash will not be called a mountain like Avram called it. Yitzchak called it a sada. Ela ki Yaakov shekaru bayis. Right? It will not be a mountain, it will not be a field, but the bayis shlishi, psachim peiches, will be a bayis. Vizer ramaz v'pasuk, v'yikat Yaakov mishnaso v'yira. So Yaakov has this frightening dream. He sees all the chorban of history. In particular, he's nervous about this last gullus, which is so long, and it seems like there's no end in sight. And he wakes up from this terrifying dream, and Yaakov trembles, he's afraid. Dahainu kishehibit la'orech ha'churban ha'achron. Nafo alav ha'yira v'fachad. Leimor masai hiya'akeit. In particular, Yaakov Avinu saw us in the ikvus of the Mashicha. And he saw how scary it is. And he saw the spiritual dangers and the physical dangers. And Yaakov Avinu says, Klal Yisrael is going to be so burnt out. And he's nervous. When's the Geula going to come already? Vayomer, Ein zeh ki em beis Elokim. And from that place of fear, you know what Yaakov Avinu says? Yaakov says, you know why? You know why it's taking so long? There's only one explanation. It must be that this is beis Elokim. What does that mean? Klomar. Look at these words. And if you have the Sefer in front of you, Chevra, underline these next couple lines. They're beautiful. Klomar. That is to say, she is nachim. He found the chama in the fact that mistama hachorban hazeh hachana al beis hamikta shenikra beis dira kavua laolamim. The way I once read in a quote from Rav Shlomo, he said, if a person is building a bungalow, so it takes, you know, you're building a little cabin, so it takes a little bit of time. He said, if a person is building Rockefeller Center, right, you're building skyscrapers, you're building big buildings, it takes a long time. So he said, can you imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the builder and he's been building it for 2,000 years, can we even begin to imagine what it's going to be? Meaning the amount of time and the ability of the contractor, of the builders, is going to reflect the project, right? If you're building a little, and my son's upstairs building a little house out of magnetiles, okay, so it takes him a minute. If you're building a little hut, so it takes whatever. You know, if you're building a house, it takes X number of months. If you're building a whole, you know, skyscraper, all the more so. So if the Borei Olam has been building for 2,000 years, can we imagine what it's going to look like? It's unbelievable. So Yaakov Avinu was the first one to say that. Vayomer, why is there such a long galus? It must be that Hashem is building something amazing. Ein zekim beis elokim. That Yaakov Avinu gave nechama to himself and by extension to, you know, Yaakov's Zera Yaakov, us. Shemistama hachor banazeh hachana el beis hamikta shenikra beis dira kavua. Yaakov says it must be Hashem is building what? A permanent structure. La'olamim. Ulefi erech or hageula. And in accordance with the light that's going to emanate from this redemption. Kein erech hachorban. Right? In accordance with the darkness will be the light. In accordance with the light, there must be the darkness. Because light only comes from darkness. True light, like the Zohar says, only comes from darkness. Lachein nimshach hachorban hazeh zman rav ve'ein ketz. And therefore, this Chorban drags on for so long. Lahoros ki ha-geula asida tiyeh bebihiros ein sof ve'ein ketz. And therefore, it's all indicative. If you can go through this hardship, so then you can get to the other side. But Yaakov Avinu felt our pain. He felt the pain of the limbs of the Shechina. And by extension, he felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's pain. Vayelech Harana, he felt that when he has to go into Galus, he felt bad about the fact that Hashem is so to speak, suffering with us through the Galus. But he also saw within that suffering, within that darkness, he saw the building blocks of Geula. Okay? There's a little more to this piece, but I'm gonna skip the end of the piece where he talks about the question of the Malachim of Olim V'Yardimbo, and he has a little bit of an explanation on that, but I want to get to a few other things. Okay, so let's jump ahead to the next piece. Where is it? Why am I not seeing it? Did I jump over it? Is it not broken up in this one? Vayifka b'makom. Oh, interesting. Okay, it's right over here. Vayifka b'makom. Interesting. Okay. In my edition, it's broken up as a separate piece. Okay, so let's take it from here. Vayifka b'makom. Okay, Yaakov Avinu encounters the place. Again, obviously, this is the place where he's having his dream, and he's seeing visions of Galus and Geula. Okay. But he encounters the makom. Now, however, we know makom is a word that we use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's a name of Hashem. Perish sheheru lo od tanchumen alibo. Vayifka b'makom, right? We say ha-makom yenachem eschem. When a person goes to pay a shiva call. So look at this medrash. He quotes a medrash. Why is Hashem called makom? The medrash tells us. Rav Huna b'shem Rabbi Ami. Rav Huna said, in the name of Rabbi Ami, let me just scroll up a little bit. Says Rav Huna, in the name of Rabbi Ami. B'pnei ma mechanin shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'koren oso makom. Why do we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu makom? Why is Hashem called place? So, you know the answer. The answer is, Shuhu Makomo Shal Olam. The Medrash says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Makomo Shal Olam. Hashem is the place. Hashem is the place of the world. Ve'ein Olamo Mekomo. But the world is not his place. Now, the truth is, I've seen this Medrash many times, and I'm sure some of you have, and I never thought about it. I never thought about the second line. I never understood, you know, why is God called place? Because God is all of space. God is all of reality. Hashem is all of makom. Right? Hashem is makomo sholom. If you would have stopped me in the street today and said, why is Hashem called makom? I would have said, because Hashem is makomo sholom. I would have used the phrase from the Medrash. But what does the second half of this line even mean? Hashem is makomo sholom, ve'ein olamo makomo? What does that mean? What do those words even mean? Ve'ein olamo Mekomo. And his world is not his place. The world is his place, but he's the place of the world, but the world is not his place. Well, what does that mean? I never thought about this line ever until I saw this piece. So let's see. What does it mean? And we'll understand to what degree Hashem is in charge of this world, and to what degree HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in charge of this world. Min madich siv hine makom iti ayin sham. Okay, that's the Medrash. Right? We don't understand. It says the Kashrus Magid. I don't understand. Chazal don't really explain to us what that means. That ain olam mekomo. That the world is not his place.
I would have said it's the same thing. I would have said just like he's the place of the world. The world is his place. Ki alo mikra kosum. The pasuk says Hashemayim ushmei Hashemayim lo yichalkalu. The pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim the heavens and the heavens of the heavens and all of reality cannot contain him. Right. In other words, Hashem is not limited to the heavens. Hashem fills all space. Hashem's space is this world. Elabeira inyan lahoros. Kiakol sivuv habore. However, think back to when we were talking about the idea we were learning in Rabbi Nachman, the ability to conquer Hashem. Right? Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. Hashem gives us the ability to overrule him. And then think about the vart we said from the Kedusha Slavi that Hashem is Melech Malchei Hamlachim, the king who rules over kings, who rules over the king. Which means that what? That Hashem is called king. The Chachamim are called kings and they can rule over Hashem. But Hashem is the ultimate king who has veto power. Hashem is the king who rules over the Chachamim, who rule over Hashem. Right? So everything revolves around HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki HaKol Sibuv HaBorei. Afilu shenira le'enayim adam omer umam lechabore baruchu. Even if it appears at times that we're the ones who crown Hashem, that we're the ones who are mamlech kedarko b'kodesh, the Kadosh Magid goes back, I think this is the sixth or seventh time we've seen it now, that we have this awesome ability and zchus, this achata, v'omer la, we say baruch ata, it's as if we're bestowing the honor upon Hashem, and we think about Rosh Hashanah, we put the crown on Hashem's head, hamelech, and we say keser, we give him a yitnu lecha keser malucha. So we think that we're the ones who make Hashem king. And a little bit we do. But let's remind ourselves that everything really revolves around Hashem. Hashem is the one who's causing everything. Hashem is, right, is the one who puts everything into motion. U'memeila shemamshich elokusu kiviyachol lebechinas makom hanirmas b'milas ata. Right? There's an impression that that we're the ones who are making the space for God, that we're inviting Hashem in, that we're putting the crown on His head, that you're the king in accordance with our ability to crown you. And on a certain level, there's a lot of Torahs that say that that's true. Aval be'emes hakol koach habore baruchu shenosin ba'adam deya v'haskel v'koach hadibor v'hu mekomo shel olam. But let's remind ourselves. Anything I've ever said, any thought I've ever had about Hashem, any mitzvah I've ever done, it's all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me that ability. Rak she'asa eiza b'china hanikra ratzon la'atzmo, lios nirtza b'avodas Yisrael l'mata, u'mekabel ta'anugo mehem, u'vishvilam bara ha'olam. So even though we're all just puppets, we're all just chess pieces in this divine chess game that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing, Hashem has created a certain ratzon, which we don't fully understand why it is, that Hashem is what? Hashem desires the Avodas Yisrael. I love when he says the words Avodas Yisrael. I don't know, I always find that geschmack. Right? That Hashem desires, that's what the Sefer is about, Avodas Yisrael. It's an understanding that we're part of the story. That Hashem desires, he gets a tanug, whatever that means, some type of pleasure. Hashem has empowered us to what? Yes, to put the crown on his head. Yes, to do mitzvos and to give him nachas ruach. All of that is true. It's so true, says the Kadosh Yisro Magid. I'll tell you how true it is. It's so true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even put the picture of Yaakov Avinu on his throne. V'zeh she'amru, this is what Chazal tell us in Bereishis Rabbah, that Dumos Yaakov Chakuka Bekisei, that the image of Yaakov is etched into the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of Hashem. U'v'zeh nishave haratzon. And that gives us a place where we get to sit, so to speak. We're sitting, in a sense, on the throne. And even though we can't wrap our minds around this idea, it's simply too deep. How does Hashem empower us? How does Hashem give us abilities to do things that matter? If we really know that every breath I ever take is from Hashem, every word I ever say is from Hashem, every idea I ever think is from Hashem. Every action I ever do is from Hashem. So how is it worth anything? How is it me? How am I earning my place? Mikol makum anu ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Sha'avod azera Yaakov. Ha'isi yesod upina l'ritzono l'briyas ha'olam. V'zeh hinei makom iti. But somehow this is all, this the founding of the world is built upon this principle. That Hashem had a ratzon to create us, to serve Him, and that our service, even though, yes, so much of it is being watched over and controlled in a certain sense by Hashem, but there's a perception that Hashem has given us that what? that we're in charge, that our life in this world is with free will, and that our actions matter. So, chaver, that's the idea that Hashem is mekomo shel olam, but the olam is not mekomo. Hashem creates, it's almost like the name Shakai, you know, the name Shin Dalet Yod, that Hashem is concealing and revealing at the same time. In a sense, Hashem set up the world where Hashem is the world, but Hashem also says, but I give you space. I give you space to function with a sense, with a perception of independence. Ki'ilu, you're doing something on your own. Hashem wants us to believe that we have that, you know, that individual authority. And that's what, and again, it's a tremendous gift that Hashem has given us. So with humility, we understand that my actions are not really mine. And at the same time, a Jew has to feel that Hashem wants you to play the game in a way that's very real, that you're in charge, that Hashem says that even though I'm mekomo sha'olam, the olamo ain't olamo mekomo. I give you space to live and to do and to say baruch ata and to place a crown on Hashem's head and to do mitzvos and to choose the words you want to say. Okay, an amazing idea. Okay, I'll just tell you one little piece outside, just because I want to get to a few more inside. But he has a nice piece, this Vayetze Yaakov piece. He says, we see in, he quotes a Medrash, that sometimes a person goes to their Zivug, and sometimes their Zivug comes to you. When it comes to Shidduchim, you never know how a person's going to, you know, to meet the person they're going to marry. Right? Sometimes you find them, sometimes they find you. It's an interesting thing. But he says, sometimes it depends on the nature of your soul. And there are different types of souls. We know that Yitzchak Avinu, he explains, L'chaim, that Yitzchak Avinu, prior to the, it's funny, I say L'chaim all the time, like whatever, when I'm drinking water or coffee. I just wonder, like, if people who like listen to this shiurim think I'm like, you know, like drinking all day. Okay, so just for our audio friends, I'm not having real L'chaims, at least not right now. Okay, just wanted to clarify that. So we know there's different, there's such a thing as a masculine soul and a feminine soul. So you'll say that men have masculine souls and women have feminine souls, right? Now, it's not as simple as that. And obviously, you know, without getting into some of the language of people in the world today, I think a lot of confusion, I've touched on in the past, whether it's a misrepresentation of feminism or things related to gender. There's a lot of things that have a lot of deep Torah truths and has a lot to do with the realigning of the sun and the moon before Mashiach come. Yitzchak Avinu, whose Midah is Midah Sadin, Gvura, Yitzchak Avinu had a very feminine soul. That's why prior to the Akedah, Avram never thought to find a Shidduch for Yitzchak. Just think about that for a second. When is the age, according to Chazal, to start finding a spouse? Shmona Esrei L'chuppah, Mishnah Pirkei Avos. By 18, you got to start thinking about getting married. And yet, Yitzchak Avinu is 37 years old at the Akedah, and we've never heard that what? We've never heard anything about trying to find a Shidduch. Finally, he's 40 years old, 3 years after the Akedah, and all of a sudden Avram recognizes, maybe I should start finding a Shidduch. Maybe it's time to send Eliezer to find a Shidduch for Yitzchak. The man is 40 years old. And all of a sudden, Avram realizes it's time to find the Shidduch. Hashem berach es Avram bakol. Remember what Rashi says on the words bakol? Hashem berach Avram with everything. Avram was blessed with everything. Bakol is gematria ben. Avram has a son. Oh yeah, I have a son, Yitzchak. I should get him a Shidduch. Now you realize you have a son, he's 40 years old. The answer is, because the Arizal and the Tzaddikim explained, the first 37 years of Yitzchak's life prior to the Akedah, Yitzchak had a feminine soul. And because of that, it wasn't shayach al pipnimius for Yitzchak to marry. At the Akedah, Yitzchak's neshama leaves his body. He gets a new neshama, a masculine soul. Sarah Imenu dies, right? When she hears about the Akedah, Sarah's neshama becomes Rivka. And then we have to wait 3 years from the time Rivka is born until she's 3 years old, at least old enough to what Chazal see as Roy Labia, whatever that means. That maybe she was 3 years old when she married Yitzchak. That sounds very strange to us. He's 40 and she's 3 years old. That's a hard thing for us to imagine and understand, right? But you see that Yitzchak had this female neshama, and that's why it wasn't shayach for him to marry prior to that. And that's why all of a sudden after the Akedah, Avram realizes Hashem blessed me with a son. Hashem berach es Avram bakol. I have a ben. Yeah, now I have a ben. Until now, my son had a female soul. Okay, so based on that idea, he explains here, the Kashrus Magid explains, that sometimes if you have a female soul, the nature, again, of a man is to be more outward, a woman is midas hadin, midas hagvura, kol kvuda bas melech pnima. So why is it that Yitzchak himself doesn't go to a shidduch? Why is the shidduch brought to Yitzchak? And the answer is because Yitzchak has a connection to that to the Alma de Nukva. Yitzchak has a connection to Nekeva, and the way of Nekeva, again, is to be a kli, is to be a makabel, is to be more passive. So that's why when it comes to the shidduch of Yitzchak, says the Kashrus Magid, the shidduch is brought to him. But when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, when it comes to the shidduch of Yaakov Avinu has to go out, right? Vayetze Yaakov, Yaakov goes out to find the shidduch, because Yaakov Avinu is connected to the midah of Zachar. And therefore, it's the nature, like the Gemara says at the beginning of Kedushin, it's the way of a man to go out and to find himself a spouse. Okay, so Alpi Pnimius, you just see how different shidduchim work. And again, maybe that explains something about, I don't know, the way shidduchim actually take place in our lives. B'derech Pnimius. Okay. All right, Chava, let's do one more piece. We got time for maybe, should we do one more? Should we do two more? Let's do at least one more. Yeah, a lot of good things here. All right, let's do one more. We'll end with this one. Vayidur Yaakov neder lemor. Yaakov takes a neder and he says, Vahaya Hashem li lelokim, if Hashem will be for me a God. Okay, this is in Parak Chafches, Pasuk Chaf. Let's get the whole Pasuk for a second. Let's just take a look. Vayidur Yaakov neder lemor, imiye Elohim imadi, Ushmarani b'derach hazeh asher anochi holich v'nasin li lechem lechol u'beged lilbosh. Hashem, if you watch over and protect me on the way and you give me food to eat and clothing to wear, then he says, then what will I do? Then I'll serve you, Hashem, right? V'shavti v'shalom abeis avi, if you bring me back in peace and tranquility to my father's house. V'haya Hashem li lelokim, and if you act to me, v'haya Hashem li lelokim, we're going to talk about those words. And if Hashem acts as a God to me, then v'ha'even azos asher samti matzeva yeh beis elokim v'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach. Then I will make a place of worship for you, Hashem, and I will give meiser, I'll give a tithe in your honor, Hashem. Okay, so it's Yaakov's promise to Hashem. Hashem, take care of me, and I will continue to work to spread your name and serve you. Okay, so let's see. Again, he often builds off of the Midrashim, so he does it again here. But Medrash Rabbah, the Medrash tells us, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha, by your life, which is a lashon of Shvuah. Hashem says, I swear to you, Kol HaTovos Uvrachos V'Nechamos, Shani Nosein Levanecha, Eini Nosnam Ela B'Lashon Hazeh. Wow, Yaakov, you hit a grand slam. You found the right words. When you said, V'Hoya, Hashem Li Lelokim, Hashem says, Ah, Chayecha, all of the bracha, and all of the tova, and all of the nechama that I'm going to give to your children, I'm going to give it to them using, I'm going to borrow your phraseology. I'm going to use the same words that you did. What's the magic word? Vahaya. I'm going to use the word vahaya. Where do we see that Hashem used the word vahaya? Shenemar. Vahaya bayomahu yetsu mayim chayim Yerushalayim. Pasuk in Zechariah. Number two. Vahaya bayomahu yosef Hashem shenis yado. In the Navi Yeshayah, in Perakir Aleph, describing the victory over Ashur, Hashem says, I'm going to strike against your enemies, and I'm going to bring Geula to Klal Yisrael. V'haya b'yomahu yitfu haharim osis. The Pasuk in Yoel, Sefer Yoel describes the horrible locust attack. And then it says afterwards that, but it'll be on that great day, that yitfu haharim osis, that the mountains will be dripping with wine, and the hills will be running with milk. Right, beautiful descriptions, again, redemptive descriptions. And lastly, again, the pasuk in Yeshayah, V'ahaya v'yomahu, the most famous pasuk, we know this one, Yitaka b'shofar gadol, the sounding of the great shofar, ushering in, right, the ka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu, that we long for. So what exactly are these four psukim? And what exactly is the promise that Hashem is making? And what was it that Yaakov said that was so, Yaakov, you said it so perfectly, that Hashem says, you got it, and I'm going to use that lashon as well. So, Chevra, all you need to know is what the word Vahaya means. And I know some of you know what it means. So you probably already figured it out, which is good. Havtacha haisa shekol ha'ashpos she'ashpia kadosh baruch hu. Yashpia meirov simchaso bahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am going to what? To give you all of that bracha and all of that tova and all of that hashpa. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to you with great simcha. Because we know from the Medrash, Ki b'chol makom shenemer v'haya, whenever you see the word v'haya, mora al simcha, it's a code word for simcha. Vayehi b'mei, just to review, is always ominous. The Gemara in Megillah says, Vayehi b'mei always signals something bad is about to happen. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, ay, 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 here comes Haman. Vayehi b'mei Shvot HaShoftim, the beginning of Megillah's Rus, there was a terrible famine. Vayehi b'mei, I think it appears five times in Tanakh, always signals something bad is about to happen. What about Vayehi? Just Vayehi, not Vayehi b'mei, just Vayehi. The Gemara in Megillah's conclusion is, sometimes good, sometimes bad, depending on the context. V'haya, says the Medrash Rabbah, V'haya, Vav He Yud He, is always a lashon of simcha. V'haya is something good. Now, what's the secret of that word? Why? Why is V'haya a code word for something good? So he says, I heard something from the Berditchever, the Heilige of Levi Yitzchak. V'tam lezeh kibalnu meharav agon achasin moreinu harav Levi Yitzchak. Because if you look at the word V'haya, you'll notice right away, of course, the letters of Hashem's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. But look at it. Instead of Yud and He coming before Vav and He comes before Yud and He. What does that mean? What is a Vav He coming before a Yud He? So, Chavra, very simply, you have to understand that in the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Yud and He, let's say, that first half represents Hashem, and Vav He represents us. Now, that's a terrible oversimplification of what that is. But let's call it, you know, Kutchabrichu Shchinte, so to speak. Right? The first half of Hashem's name, Yud and Hey, is Hashem. Vav and Hey is us as manifesting the Shechina, so to speak. So what is Vahaya? What is a Vav Hey in front of a Yud Hey? What is the joy in the Vav Hey placing itself before a Yud Hey? In other words, Dahainu, Shemisromim Yichud Knesses Yisrael Imdoda Lekeser V'atara. In a certain sense, Vav He coming before Yud He is us, again, kind of like the piece we were learning a moment ago, Hashem empowering us to crown Him. Vav He coming before Yud He gives a nachas ruach to Hashem because we, so to speak, are what? Are leading the way, right? It's us lifting ourselves up. It's Vav He coming in front of a Yud He. It's us, so to speak, providing for Hashem. Now, I once saw in... in a kuntres from the Baba Varebi, the present Baba Varebi. I don't remember who he quoted. The Baba Varebi said, the way to think about Vahaya, Vav Hey and Yud Hey, is to think of it as a, right, if Yud and Hey, let's say, are Abba and Ima, Kabbalistically, and Vav and Hey are son and daughter, Kabbalistically. So Vav Hey Yud Hey, if Yud and Hey is Ima and Abba, is mommy and daddy, and the Vav Hey is on top, you should picture it like a child riding on the parent's shoulders. It's the children, it's the kids getting a piggyback ride, right? It's the Vav Hey, if you picture it, Vav Hey sitting on top of Yud Hey, so it's mommy and daddy with their son and daughter on their shoulders, right? And that, and picture the joy that the, you know, picture like Simchas Torah, the little kid getting a shoulder ride, you know, with the, he's giggling and he's laughing and the father's laughing, right? So in a certain sense, Vav Hey on top of Yud Hey is actually us being carried by Hashem. But the Berditchever is also saying, but it's also us leading Hashem. Right? The same way the kid who's getting the shoulder ride says, oh, daddy, let's go that way. Oh, daddy, let's go that way. He's pointing which way he wants to go. Right? He's, so to speak, the driver, and Hashem has become the Merkava. Hashem has become the chariot. Even though usually we're the chariot and Hashem is the rider. So the simcha of Vahaya is sort of this relationship of Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people lifting themselves up. And Hashem gets great joy from that. So when Yaakov says to Hashem, Vahaya Hashem li lelokim, even though I'm entering into a period of Elokim, of Midas Hadin, I'm running for my life, and I'm feeling anxious, and I'm saying, Hashem, just make sure I have clothing on my back and food in my stomach. But Vahaya, I'm a Kabbalit Besimcha. So Hashem says, wow, I'm going to continue to always give Besimcha. V'hamedrash Rabba, Ramaz Ba'arba Psukim Hanal. And the Medrash picked these four Psukim, Dafka. These four Psukim, which represent what? This desire of Hashem to give to us in a loving way, each of these psukim, starting with the word Vahaya, but each of these psukim actually lifts us up a little bit higher. Look at this, it's beautiful. Ki ashpa visarusa de la'ela, hu lefi isarusa de lesata. To the degree that we work to lift ourselves up, to carry ourselves proudly in a proper way, we get closer and closer to Hashem. To the point that the vav hei comes before the yod hei. Look what he says here. Lechein sider kazeh. What was the first pasuk the Medrash quoted? Yetzu mayim chayim mi Yerushalayim. His oris hamayin nukvin va'ava b'mechinas malchus. The mayim represents what we call mayin nukvin, feminine waters, the lowest of the sviros, what we call malchus. And then mis'ala litzadik yisod olam. We're working our way back up, climbing back towards the crown of Hashem, from malchus, the lowest sphera. Then we go up to yisod. Because what's the second pasuk we quoted? V'haya b'yom ahu, Yosef Hashem. Yosef is Yosef at tzaddik. So Yosef is tzaddik yisod olam. Now we go from malchus, we go to yisod. What's the next pasuk? The next pasuk that we quoted was V'haya b'yom ahu, yitfu haharim osis v'hagvos. We talk about the mountains and the hills. What does that represent? Who's called mountains? Acher kach misromim v'chinas chesed gvura teferes, also known as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because the avos are mechunim b'shem harim, because the avos are sometimes called mountains, right? Esa einai el harim means esa einai. The Medrash says esa einai el horim. Look to our parents, the avos hakadoshim. So we're climbing our way back up from malchus to yesod, right? Yesod counts for all those middle sviros, all the way back to teferes, to gvura, to chesed, until finally, what's the fourth and final pasuk hevra? V'acher kach yitaka b'shofar gadol. The big shofar, the geula shleimar, tekab shofar gadol lecheiruseinu, right? Hu alma decheiru, the world of cheirus v'noam elyon, till we come to a place of keser. Val yidei sarusa de latata leela, mashpia hayotzer shefa bracha v'yeshuas v'nechamas aleinu, val kol yisrael amen. I'll just end by pointing out and reminding you that every month has a name of Hashem, right? An arrangement of yud kei vav kei that corresponds to it. What month is Vav He Yud He? What month is Vav He Yud He? Anyone know? You remember? Nani, remember? No? What month is Vahaya? Tishrei. Tishrei is Vahaya. Tishrei is Vahaya. And that's really the ultimate goal, right? To come to that fourth Vahaya, to work our way up all the way to Keser, to the Tekab B'Shofar Gadol that this pasuk is describing. That's why, you know, the joy of blowing the shofar, right? The shofar represents a certain pachad, but there's also this unbelievable joy in the month of Tishrei when we're able to say, V'yitnu lecha keser malucha, to, so to speak, get the shoulder ride from Hashem as we celebrate Zman Simchaseinu and Sukkis and Simchas Torah, etc. But also to once again realize that Hashem has, you know, has empowered us, like we learned today, to be able to crown him with the humility to know, you know, I'm not even a holich yet. By Yitzhak Yaakov, I'm just getting started. So have a really beautiful pieces. Take a look. There's more nice pieces in this parsha. There's some very short, nice Ramazim also. So if you have a chance over Shabbos, you'll take a look. But Vashkoyach, this was great. Thanks for being here.